All right, we are going to be in Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. You'll have to give me a second to kind of cool down here. Singing. I'm more nervous singing than I am preaching. I don't know why, but I always am. All right. Luke chapter 16. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank you for your love for us, your mercy and your grace. I thank you for this church here and how this church has been such a blessing to me and my family and to the people of this community. I just pray that you continue to bless First Baptist Church of Midway Village and its people. Father, tonight we just pray that you draw us close to you. As we open your word and hear the preaching out of it, that it would touch all our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would soften all our hearts, that we would respond correctly to the preaching of your word. We just pray that you help in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, praise God. You got to praise God that for those of us who've put their faith, who put our faith in Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we've got heaven to look forward to someday when this body dies. Amen. It's appointed unto man once to die. We're all going to die someday. Everybody knows it. There's some people go in denial for a while. I think of the airplane guy, was it Howard Hughes? Was that the guy? I don't remember. Airplane guy that he hit up in his hotel or penthouse or something for a long time, like wouldn't even see people because he's afraid of germs. Every time I think of COVID, I think of that guy. And he died eventually. I mean, that's the end of the story for him. He did all these things to try and live forever. He didn't. Our bodies are going to die, but we have an eternity to look forward to. It's an amazing place. Jesus said that he would go to prepare a place for us, and that he would return to take us there. Let's turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously. What a nice word. It even sounds marvelous, doesn't it? He fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Look here, this first part here. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Ephraim, pick up Mordecai there and bring him here to me. Can you pick him up? Are you strong enough? Can you pick up your little brother? If Ephraim is an angel and I'm Abraham, turn him around. Turn him around. There would have been two. And he carried him into Abraham's bosom. Abraham gave him a hug. This guy, he had been in misery for a lot of his life. And the angels, when he died, they got his soul. And he wasn't here you can go sit back down. Thank you. In my wife's area of Indonesia, the people there, they're superstitious, okay? And they have their pagan background. And some Protestants came in, they kind of Christianized some things. They didn't do away with all the paganism, though. One of the things they believe is that after a person dies, their soul roams around on the earth. You know, ghosts, right? There's even people here that believe in that, right? Yeah. Their soul roams around on the earth for 40 days. Because their reasoning, their Christianized reasoning is, well, Jesus went up after 40 days. So the soul's here wondering, where is it going to go? Well, you know, you got to know before the death of the body where you're going to go. If you don't, there's a place determined. And it's not the place you want to go. So you need to know before the death of the body. Because when Lazarus died, he was carried by the angels. He didn't wander around, man, when am I going to go to heaven or hell? I don't know. I haven't even thought about it. No, when he died, the angels were ready. They grabbed him and they carried him. And this is something interesting I only thought about just recently. But you'll like this. So this is extra, okay? This is extra. So there's always, people are always wondering, there's a lot of speculation. Who greets you in heaven, right? Some people say, well, it's going to be Jesus. Some people think it's going to be Peter. I don't know. We do know in this case, it was Abraham. Right. Abraham greeted Lazarus. Maybe it's different for all of us. You know, maybe my grandpa is going to greet me. Maybe it'll be Paul. I don't know. I don't know who it's going to be. It'd be great if it's Jesus, right? Jesus is going to have his physical body up there. But in this case, Abraham was ready right there. And when Lazarus came and he gave him a hug, he was right there. He carried the angels carried him right into Abraham's bosom. What a great and wonderful thing. This man, he had a horrible life. And yet here he had some comfort and peace and knowledge that the faith he had in the Almighty God, in Jesus, the Savior, was not in vain. It had been realized, not just on this life. Now, we can enjoy blessings from the Christian walk on this life, but there's still the problems of the world we have to go through. But here, Lazarus was, and he looks forward to the realization that he's in a heavenly paradise.
Amen.
There with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and of course, Jesus. I'm sure that after he had cried on Abraham's shoulder a little bit there and Abraham comforted him, that he went looking for Jesus. Where's Jesus? I want to give him a hug. And to be there with all these other great men, David, and in eternity to get to know them. Right at this moment, maybe, you know, there's David's talking to somebody else, but you know what? We're here for an eternity. I'm going to get to talk to David someday. At some point, everyone's going to have time for you. And even the people that hate you right now, God will take that hatred away when they get to heaven, right? if they believe in Jesus as Savior and they get to heaven, they won't hate you there. So it's a wonderful place. And oh, that the story would have ended here. Of rejoicing and joy and happiness. Sadly, that's not the end of the story. That's part of the story. Because there's another man in this story. There's another man in this story, the rich man. We don't get his name. We look in Luke chapter 16 and verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died, and was buried. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, I'm going to tell you two important things here, just so that when you're going out talking with people, as Jehovah's Witnesses, they hate this verse. They say, there's no place of torment, eternal torment in the Bible. I was out soul winning one time, and I had my kids with me, and we're passing out tracts, invite people to church, and giving them the gospel. And we saw some Jehovah's Witness, and I already know not to go and talk with them if I have people with me. There's little point. Whenever they're there to preach their altered, not actually the gospel, right? So, but they approached us, and they were trying to influence my children, so I had to step in. And they, you know, we'll teach you the true Bible. I said, well, important thing to me is eternity, and that you can know for sure you're going to heaven. Right. And do you know that? Of course, they can't say they do, because they don't even believe. They only believe what the 244,000 that even go to heaven? Whatever the case. So they said, well, there's not even a place of torment. I said, well, you know, obviously you can't teach me the Bible then. If you don't even know that it says the rich man lifted up his hell, it lifted up his eyes in hell being in torments. That's where he was. This is not a parable. How would this be applied in a parable way? Parables don't give a specific person's name. These were two individuals that lived, and this literally happened. There was Lazarus carried up into heaven to Abraham's bosom for Abraham to hug, and this rich man was cast into hell. And he lifted, in verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. And now we see a miracle. This is something, now this part's my opinion. I don't believe that, I believe this was a special occurrence of him being able to see Lazarus. I personally don't believe everybody in hell right now sees everyone in heaven. Okay, because it's also a place of darkness, right? But here, at the very least, it happened here. If it happens even now, I don't know. My opinion is it doesn't. But you can have your opinion. I can have mine on that one. So it says here, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Verse 23 is the last part here. And seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, by the way, another way we know this is talking about Abraham's bosom, this his chest, all right, his bosom, and not a place called Abraham's bosom, because he talks to Abraham right here, and Abraham talks back, right? It's not just a place, it is Abraham. So he cried and said, verse 24, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. And we're going to come back to that. Why would anyone desire to pass from heaven to hell? Well, we'll come back to that. Keep that in mind. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. So they have the Bible. In other words, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, and this is really important, by the way, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, here's a question I want to ask. And you answer in your own heart. I'm asking myself the same question. Do we care as much for other people as what their relatives in hell care for them? Amen. Look at the rich man here. Think about it. Here he is. He's in hell. He cared about his family. Now, he cared about himself first. Sadly, he still wasn't a saved man. First thing he wanted, drop of water on my tongue. Right? But he did. He cared about his family. He lifted up his eyes in hell. He said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send them to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. The rich man said, I pray. He told Abraham, I pray as I am begging you. Please send Lazarus to my family. Because I don't want them to end up here with me. Send him. I pray, send him to testify unto my family. Just kind of rephrase it here. He said, I pray, send Lazarus to testify unto my family, lest they also come into this place of torment. He cared about them. How many more people in hell right now are praying to God, saying, God, would you please send someone to my brothers, to my sisters, to my nieces and nephews, to my dad? I can't get out of here. Would you send someone to talk to them? Would you send someone to give them the gospel? Would you send? Would you please, send someone to testify to my children so they won't come into this fire? I pray, send someone to testify to my parents so they won't come into this darkness. I pray, send someone to testify to my siblings so they won't come into this place of torment. I pray, send someone to testify to my neighbors so they won't come into this hell and thirst forever and hunger forever and burn forever, be tortured forever, please. And maybe God would reply and say, I did send someone. I sent someone and they didn't believe. They went, they didn't believe. And maybe they would reply back. Now, there's some imagination here, but it's Bible-based. Right. All right? Maybe I could hear him reply back, please send him again. Would you please send him again? Yeah, send him one more. Give him another chance. Are they only going to get one chance? Now, some people do. But is that God's fault or our fault? Send him again. Wouldn't it be sad if God had to reply? You know, if they said, please send someone. If they said to God, please send someone, ask them to have compassion on my loved ones, making a difference. That's Bible. Yeah. Ask them to save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Ask them to compel my loved ones to believe. Compel. Mm-hmm. Not just, hey, love for you to get saved. Here you go. Now, if that's all you could do right now, great. But grow. Amen. There should be a point where you're compelling them, especially for those who are close to us, our loved ones that are close to us, that we realize, you know, they've never even made a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the profession itself is not what saves, but the belief in Jesus. But if they haven't even made a profession, what's the likelihood that they believed? And to you, you know, hey, ask your family, ask your friends, hey, what do you think about eternity? If Jesus were to come back, or if we were to die today, where would you spend eternity? Have you thought about that? Oh, it's hard to do. We don't want to offend our family. But is the risk of offending greater than the reality of hell in our minds? Maybe God would reply and say, well, I've already commanded them to do so, because he has. It's in here. There's a command to go. That's the Great Commission. That is the purpose of the church. That's what we are to do. The church is comprised of individuals. That's why there's soul winning times and opportunities to go out and give people the gospel and invite people into church so they can hear the gospel again.
Amen.
So that is the great, we are commanded. Maybe God would say, I've already commanded them to do so. I've commanded them to go. I've commanded them to have compassion. I've commanded them to weep and to pray and to testify and to win souls by spreading the gospel and to compel the lost to come in, that my house may be filled.
Amen.
But my, wouldn't it be sad? Wouldn't it be sad? I don't want this to be said of me. I believe, you know, all of us, at some points it could be said. We don't have, I love Brother Wildcat. One thing he said is, we have the capacity to love like God. And when we don't, that's our choice. We can choose to love like he does, and we can choose not to. And sadly, sometimes we choose not to, right? Sometimes we choose to, and great. Wouldn't it be sad for God to say, but my people are tired. They are weary in well-doing. They've grown so used to hearing people reject the gospel, it doesn't bother them so much anymore. Their spirit is dulled. They speak of hell, but they have lost the vision of it. Hell is just a word to them anymore, not a real place of eternal fire and torment. They don't plead with people anymore, but move on quickly and are hasty to return home to relax. They don't pray for the lost like they used to, not with tears in their eyes. Oh, that my people would keep my commandments to bear fruit, that my joy might remain in them, that their joy might be full. There's a lot of Bible there too. That's a compilation of many verses. God does say these things. Not that we are that way necessarily, but he tells us not to be that way. He tells us not to be weary in well-doing. He does command us to have tears, right? To have tears. It says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Now, I love rejoicing. I don't, I have a couple of sermons like this, and I don't like them. I like being happy. I love rejoicing. But you know what? There's a time to weep. There's a time to get on our knees, especially when you're in your personal prayer time, there should be some people on your heart.
Amen.
Lord, you know what? If there's not, then pray that God gives you the heart.
Yeah. Amen.
If there's not people on your heart, pray that God breaks your heart. Yeah. Not all the time. I don't go around weeping and crying all the time. I normally have a smile on my face. But in private, there should be some people that we weep for. We say, Lord, this person, as far as I know, has not trusted in Jesus as Savior, has rejected God. I love this person. I don't want him or her to go to hell. Father, give me an opportunity. Give me the boldness and the opportunity and the wisdom to present the gospel to so-and-so and to my neighbors and to strangers. You imagine if Jesus said, well, I'm only going to die for the people that I meet personally in my body while I'm here. And everybody else can just go to hell. That'd be pretty horrible, wouldn't it? Strangers. Carrie, so you got plenty of tracks. We do, and we all do. And I've included myself in this, not just you, okay? So don't take this as a rebuke, I hope. Well, I mean, if you're convicted by the Holy Spirit, so be it. But convicting to me too, we should carry tracks on us. I normally do. Oh man. We should carry, yeah, that'll teach me, right? Here we go. But we should carry tracks on us when we meet people, give them out. You should be going, oh man, I ran out of tracks again. Feel guilty because you see someone. I do. I'll see someone, I'll say, kids, get me a track out of the van. So we're out. What? We need to get some more. We shouldn't be running out. Carry them around. If you have the opportunity to present the gospel, do it.
Amen.
But even if the very least you can do, you know, you go to the drive-thru, hey, thanks so much. Hey, we'd love for you to come to our church. That you know what? That doesn't even take any longer than taking the food, because you grab the food with the other hand, you give them before they close the window. Right?
Amen.
In fact, you can even do it at a stoplight. I had a guy say hi to me once, so I through a track to him. There's ways to do it. But you, and the thing is, when you do that, I'll tell you, if you've never been soul winning, you don't even understand the joy of being a disciple of Christ. You can't. You can't, not fully. Because the greatest joy, after the joy of salvation, in fact, what one guy, I like the way he puts it, he says, you want to remember how it felt when you got saved? Help someone else.
Amen.
Oh man, it's joyful. There's some tears when you're bearing that precious seed, and then whenever the harvest comes in, you see someone get saved. Oh man, there's joy. And I'll try and stay calm. Then I get into my car and smack my steering wheel. Yeah, it's great to know there's a soul that was on his way to hell, now going to eternity in heaven.
Amen.
With our Lord. And you're storing up treasure in heaven.
Amen.
You can't bring your material things from this world, but you can bring people.
Amen. That's right.
You can bring people. That's our treasures in heaven. People. Mm-hmm. The crowns, we don't keep those. We cast them to Jesus' feet. He's worthy. We don't. One song I hate is I'll Wear a Crown. I hate that song. We're not going to wear the crowns. We're going to lay them at Jesus' feet. Because he's worthy. But people, we get to continue to have fellowship with those people. Wouldn't it be great? You get to heaven. They said, you know what? We lost track on earth. You might not even remember my name. But you took a track to my door one day. And I never even went to your church, but I read that. And I put my faith in Jesus. I just died shortly after. And I'm here because of you.
Amen.
Wouldn't that be better? Turn in Revelation chapter 21. One last thought here. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. In fact, we can go ahead and look, and we can start in verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. That's going to be amazing. That's going to be amazing. A heaven that has never been polluted by sin. Right? No Lucifer to have fallen down in. A new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. We're going to have a lot of land to run around on, right? Going to get to play. I think we're going to get to play anyway. I don't know. The Bible doesn't necessarily say, but I think we can get to play. Maybe there'll be some football in heaven or something. I don't know. I'm not a big sports fan, but I think that'd be fun. Anyway, and I saw, and I, John, verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Verse 4, and this is what we're wanting to look at here. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega. This is Jesus speaking. The beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. We could go on, but let's look here at verse 4 again. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There's a misconception about heaven. There's this idea that there's no crying in heaven. Now, one day it will be that way. But you can't wipe away tears that don't exist. Now, this is my personal belief. Okay? You can believe what you want on here. I believe the tears are going to be, because we're going to get to heaven and there are going to be people that we say, hey, where's so-and-so? And God's going to say, well, they're not here. So where are they? Where is this guy? Where is that guy? Where is this relative of mine? Where is my neighbor? I lived next to this guy for years. Where is he? Did you ever talk? Maybe God said, did you ever talk to him? Did you ever ask him where he was going? Because it's something you have to know before the body dies. How beautiful are the feet of those that preach the gospel. I'm not quoting that exact, but it's close. You want God to look at you like, man, that person has beautiful feet. Asa's got beautiful feet. I want God to look at me and say, I've got beautiful feet. Not because of what my feet physically look like, but because of what they're doing. Carrying me to somebody who's in need to hear the gospel of Jesus, that he died on the cross for his sins, and he was buried, and he rose again, he conquered death. And he said, here's the free gift of eternal life. All you got to do is ask Jesus to save you. Put your faith in him. Trust in him, and he'll do it. Forever. Wash away all your past, present, future sins, all washed away in the blood of Jesus. So you're 100% for sure going to go to heaven. And Jesus says, well, I like that. That's beautiful. That's beautiful because those feet are carrying the good news. What a wonderful thing. Joy in heaven, the angels rejoicing over a soul saved from the pits of hell. To instead be in heaven. So that he doesn't have to lift up his eyes in hell being in torments. But instead look on the Savior in joy and peace, happiness. But he'll wipe away all the tears. What are your tears? Whose tears are we going to weep? What are our tears going to be for? For who? I don't think it's going to be for our riches.
Right.
We're not going to care. We're going to walk on gold. That's how worthless it is. You can look at it two ways. That's how rich we are. I guess that's a little bit. Also, that's how worthless it is, and we're going to walk on it. But there are going to be some people we know, they're not there. And we'll have to ask ourselves, we'll cry either way, whether we did what we were supposed to do or not, I believe.
Right.
But oh, how much more bitter the tears if we realize, man, I never even spoke to that person one time about the gospel. Never gave him a gospel track. Never gave him an opportunity. Never allowed God to work through me to help so-and-so. I there's some people, even now, I think of that I didn't do my best, and they're gone. I don't know. I mean, maybe at the end of their lives, they put their faith in Jesus, but I wasn't part of it. I didn't allow God to use me to be part of it if they did. And if they didn't, how sad. Now, God wants us to have joy. Okay? He wants us to have joy. He doesn't want us to be sad and weep all the time. All right? But your joy will not be full. Like the Bible says, that their joy might be full. Right? That your joy might be full. That's the way the Bible puts it. Your joy will not be full if you are not bearing fruit as you should. And you're not going to bear fruit without some tears and some telling, some weeping for the lost, soul winning, right? He that winneth souls is wise. We go out, we give them the gospel, compelling them to believe and praying for them. You know, that's one of the, I'll tell you, one of the hardest things is praying for people. It really is. Especially if you got, if you went soul winning and a person's a real jerk. Let's put it nicely, right? It's hard to pray for that person. They say, man, well, I was just trying to get them to heaven. They just slammed the door on my face. Well, they're going to get what they deserve. Yeah, well, we would get what we deserve too, right? But pray for them. Pray for them. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Father, thank you for your love for us, your mercy and your grace. We thank you for your word, and we pray that you help us to have that love and compassion that you have. Please help us to just get closer and closer to be like Christ, as we should, in Jesus' name.